Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends, and welcome to a new episode of our radio show, Friends Forum. My name is John McCormick, and I am your host. Just as the talk show suggests, this is an informal forum for friends to come together and discuss topics and or share random thoughts. Although I will suggest topics at times, everyone is welcome to suggest a topic as well. Most topics are welcomed, but remember, we are on the air, so please keep that in mind. The show tonight will be in a few segments over the next 90 minutes. There will be fun commercials, great songs, and some surprises in addition to our discussion. I created this show so friends that may never get a chance to meet in person can at least talk to each other here. It's like the next best thing. We get to put a voice with a face. I just want to say how grateful I am for all my friends I have met online through Facebook and other social networking sites, and I want to thank each one of you for being a friend. Well, it's time to get this show going. What you have is two options. You can choose to listen to the show, or you can call in to join the live group discussion, which I would prefer that you could do, and that will be on the air. If you call in, you will hear the show through your phone. The listener dial-in number is 646-478-3380. That's 646-478-3380. Or if needed, call the toll-free number at 1-888-238-8575. That's 1-888-238-8575. So please call now to be connected. Thank you in advance for listening to the show and to anyone that may call in, which I want you to do, please. Again, please call in now.
Well, it looks like we have our first caller, and I'm going to try to guess who it is. I think it's Julie. Is this Julie?
Yes, it's Julie.
Hey, great. How are you?
I'm wonderful, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a nice weekend, you know, so far. How's your weekend been going?
It's been going pretty good. I had my regular Thursday night show at the Bottleneck this week, and then last night I left Kansas at 8:30 to drive to Mississippi because I have another show on Monday night.
Wow. So you're in Mississippi now? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So how did the show go? I'm sure it went really well.
It did. It was awesome. We had a lot of funny open mics. We had Rod Reyes, who is originally from New York City, but he now lives in Kansas City. Very funny comedian. Very good performer.
Great. Well, that's excellent. Yeah, I need to get out and go to more stand-ups because I used to do that a lot a few years ago, and it's really been amazing. And there's a friend of mine online and on Facebook. Her name is Joey Savage. I'm not sure if you know her or not, but she's originally from Dallas, Texas, and she performs sometimes here in San Francisco, and I go and I see her perform. So that would be awesome if you could ever make it here to San Francisco. Do you think that's ever going to happen?
I'm not sure right now. Right now I'm sort of just trying to get the show going in Lawrence. My main goal is to make sure that we have secured a permanent weekly show for the college kids. You know, there's not a venue in Lawrence that is designated for comedy. So what I'm trying to do is secure a weekly slot for comedy in Lawrence.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And that gives other people, like you said, the college kids and other people a chance to perform. That's excellent.
Right. And I say college kids. I don't know why. I'm 33 years old. I'm not an old man, but, you know, old woman. I'm not a man anyway. But, you know, I have a habit of saying kids because I did actually teach college before I started doing stand-up.
Oh, wow. Great. Yeah, and like I told you, I believe last time you called in, and thanks again for calling in again. I really appreciate it. I'm still, you know, thinking about doing that open mic because, you know, the thing is the Starbucks that I go to almost every day, literally every day, to do my writing, it's right across the street from a place called Punchline right here in San Francisco. And that's where I went to when I first moved here like 20 years ago. I used to go all the time to see comedians perform, and I always thought that looked like it would be something fun to do, and it's still there. That business is still going, and it's doing well, and I told Joey when she was out here, you know, that that would be a place maybe to try to get a gig, you know, or at least an open mic or something next time she comes out, because it's a really big comedy club, so it's great, you know. So, but yeah, if I'm ever down that way, I'm going to definitely come and watch you perform. I mean, I get to see you. What's really a treat is I get to see Julie perform on YouTube. So anybody who wants to check out Julie Brooks, just put Julie Brooks comedian and all of her YouTube videos will come up and you'll get to see her perform. And so that's the next best thing. So what I wanted to do, Julie, is right before we maybe get another caller, is I wanted to play a song that represents how it is right now in San Francisco and probably all over, I think, in California right now, which is very unusual. I think people in the East are having better, warmer weather than we are. So here's a song, Julie, and we'll be right back.
Sounds good. This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
How low your hands are just like
my
ice.
Mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, watch your hands.
My father will be pacing the floor.
Just listen to that fireplace roar.
Now really I'd better scurry.
Sweetheart, watch your hurry.
Well, maybe just a half
Why
a drink
don't you
more.
Put some records on while I pour?
The neighbors might say
the baby is bad out there.
Say, what's in this dream?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
To break this spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks
sweet. I ought to say no, no, no.
Mind
no.
If I move?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense in hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out. Oh, but it's cold outside.
I simply must go.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Welcome has been
so lucky that you dropped
so
in.
Nice and warm.
Look out that window at that storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look
and my brother will be there at the door.
Waves upon a tropical shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is vicious.
Ooh, baby, you're so delicious.
Maybe just one little kiss more.
Never such a visit.
Oh, I've gotta go home.
You'll freeze to the bone out there.
Hey, lend me your coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
You've really been great.
I thrill when you touch
but
my hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
There's
me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Making my life long.
At
sorrow.
Least there will be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and
I really can't stay.
Get over that old house. Baby, it's cold outside.
It's kind of chilly.
Just stay right here, baby. You ain't gotta be nowhere.
Well, thank you. thanks for listening to that. I had to play it because it is freezing here in California right now. I think the East Coast, like I said, is warmer than we are. But it looks like we do have another caller, so I wanted to welcome that caller. And who's calling in?
Cal Kane here from Internet Land. How you doing, John?
Oh, hey, how are you?
Doing fine.
You and Wayne work together with your business, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to be playing an ad. It's an audio from a video from your website later on, and hopefully if Wayne calls in or if not, maybe you can give us a little bit more information about your business.
Oh, whoops. I thought you said Grant. I'm friends with you and Grant, so I'm calling in your show for the first time. So.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Could you say your first name again? I thought I heard it different.
Cal Kane.
Oh, okay, right. How are you tonight? How's your weekend going?
Going all right.
Yeah, Grant hasn't called in the last couple of nights so far, or a couple of shows, but he's called in like three times, so I really appreciate his support. He's always great every time he calls in. So, but yeah, we were just getting started tonight, just talking about a few things, but we do have some topics in line for tonight. But again, it's an open forum, so you can feel welcome to mention any topic that you'd like that's on your mind, that's burning, that you want to talk about, and we would love to discuss it. So, I was just wondering, looks like we're getting down, I can't believe it, almost to our first segment already, because our segments are usually in about 15 minutes, and we're probably going to get a few more callers. But is there anything going on tonight with either one of you or anything that you're thinking about that you'd like to talk about tonight?
Just cold outside, like your song said. So.
Yeah, just like that song said, right?
Yeah.
I know.
You know, it's actually not very cold. I'm in Mississippi, and it's not actually very cold here. I mean, it's a little chilly, but I think it was about 68 degrees earlier today. It's a little bit lower now, I'm certain. I haven't been outside in a while, but it is not as cold as it is where you guys are at.
Yeah, it's really unusual for us out here. I think we've got like a freeze warning or something, you know, and I rarely turn on my heat, but my heat is on tonight, you know. I'm a weather wimp. I grew up in Ohio, like I said, I think before in a previous show, and I was used to, you know, like 25 below zero weather and ice and snow and all that. And I've lived in California now for 20 years. My body has lost all that. I don't have any defense over that anymore. So now if it gets in the 50s, I'm like freezing to death. So it's a little crazy, I know. But, you know, we just celebrated New Year's, and I wanted to play a radio commercial. It's a kind of a spoof one. It's not real, but it's kind of funny. And I just wanted to play it because I wanted it to lead us a little bit into another topic. So I'm going to play it now, and we'll be right back since we are at the end of our first segment.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Millions of Americans every day are shedding unwanted pounds by taking tested and proven Ultra Lipo Stick. Carbohydrates are bad, bad. Our carbo-fighting antioxidant is good, good. Just listen to these satisfied customers.
My name is Gail, and I lost like 20 pounds on Ultra Lipo Stick.
My name is Jared, and I lost 46 pounds using Ultra Lipo Stick.
My name is Zach, and I actually gained weight. This stuff sucks!
Ultra Lipo Stick is safe and easy to inject. Just 3 doses, 4 times a day, discreetly underneath your fingernail. Listen to this.
I used Ultra Lipo Stick and suffered from side effects like uncontrollable greasy discharge.
Ultra Lipo Stick, it turned the armpits of all of my shirts orange. This stuff is crap.
Try it today and see some real results. Ultra Lipo Stick, not available in stores. Results may vary.
And we are back. If you are listening and haven't called in yet, please do so now. The listener dial-in number is 646-478-3380. That's 646-478-3380. Or if needed, please call the toll-free number at 1-888-238-8575. That's 1-888-238-8575. 8575. So please call in now to be connected.
Well, hopefully we'll get some more callers, but if not, I enjoy talking to two of you. And I just wanted to say before the break, I mentioned New Year's resolutions, and I just wanted to play that commercial because a lot of people, I think that's the number one thing, is they want to lose weight. But for me, one of my resolutions was to try to find a new job. I decided to give up retirement and go back into the workforce. So I just started doing that last week. I sent out a ton of resumes, and I actually had my first in-person interview yesterday. So, you know.
Yay!
Cool. Yeah, I knew it went well. Yeah, it didn't go bad. And then by the end of the day, I had a phone call, a lady who wanted to set up a telephone interview starting on Monday morning. So I've got another interview coming up. So it's going well, I guess. You know, at first I thought it was going to be really tough. And I have to say, I might have not done the interview in person, not the best. I'm kind of rusty. It's been about 4 years. but still, though, I think I'm going to get the second interview, so we'll see. But I was just wondering about you guys. I know a lot of people don't make any resolutions, but if you made a resolution, how's it going so far? And if you didn't make one, is there still a goal or something that you want to achieve here in 2013?
Well, John, what I was going to say is, as far as job interviews, I always try to keep the mindset when I'm looking for a new job the same as I do when I have a new audience, and that's every week. I try to treat the audience as well as the interviewer as a first date. You don't ever want to say anything that is inappropriate. You want to dress your best. You want to give them the best impression possible. And
yeah.
I think that works well for stand-up comedy as well as for interviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always try to do that for everyone, you know.
Well, that sounds great. That's great advice. And you know, like I said, I try to keep a positive attitude about it. I said, you know, if it doesn't go well and I just completely blow it, at least I'll learn from it and know what to do maybe different the next time. But see, one of the things I'm trying to do, and a lot of people, you know, they try to fluff up their resume. They try to hide certain gaps in employment. They try to, you know, just make things not sound as negative as they can. And I think that's what you're supposed to do when you go on an interview. But in my case, you know, at my age and all the career I've had 30 years of experience of working in management and all kinds of stuff. I just, you know, I'm an honest guy and about it. And so my resume is really brutally honest, and I'm still getting interviews. So I was, like, shocked by that, you know, because I've worked as a writer for the last several years, and I haven't had an actual real job. You know, I've just been doing writing, and still people want to interview me. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So how about you, Kyle? What's going on with you? Did you make any resolutions or any goals for this year?
No resolutions, but I am actually working on trying to get some writing copyrighted. So I'm hoping to set that goal and you know, actually carry it out this year. So, you know, maybe someday I could be a published writer, you know. But otherwise, I've been writing privately for, like, I don't know, 10 or 12 years now. So hopefully it can turn into something profitable someday. And otherwise, I just feel better having my stuff copyrighted. So then, you know.
Well, I think that's amazing that you're doing that, because you really need to do that. Every time I write a short story, I know that I can take all my short stories and put them into, you know, a group and have them copyrighted all together. As soon as I write anything, I get it copyrighted. It makes you feel so much better, you know, knowing that your work is protected.
Yeah.
So I think that's great that you're doing that. Now, what kind of writing do you do? Are you writing, like, books or screenplays, or what exactly are you writing?
Well, it's more like short stories. They're part of a series, and it's like science fiction, fantasy type, action adventure related. So you know, it someday if I get it published, it could cater to maybe a Star Wars or Star Trek audience or something. You know, so.
Well, that's cool, and I think that's awesome. And you know, the thing is that that once you get, like I said, copyrighted, then you can move forward with it. You can, like you said, feel comfortable about having it published. And like you said, maybe a Star Wars, it could be, or Star Trek or anything, you know, it could be a movie or a series of movies. I just had a friend recently who just had three of his books sold, I guess, basically into screenplays. So,
wow.
and he's been hired to be one of the writers on his own screenplays. Because he's not a screenplay writer; he's more of a book, an author. But they hired him, and now he's working on copy of all three movies of a trilogy that's coming out. So,
wow.
Yeah, and I'm going to get him on the show very soon. And when I do, he'll give us more information about, you know, what he's doing about that. So, that motivates me even and inspires me to know that maybe I should be working on my screenplay a little bit more, you know. Right now I'm just working on my self-help book, which I really am passionate about finally getting that finished. And then once that's done, then I want to go back to the screenplay, which I have a lot of dialogue, a lot of scenes already written. So good luck, you know, with that. And
thanks.
I know you're going to do well. I'm sure you are. So guys, I was just wondering what else is going on for you in this new year. I mean, has anything surprising already happened, or has it been a good year for you so far, or do you feel optimistic, or anything that you still are hoping that's going to be happening soon?
Well, I recently got a new job within like a couple months ago, so that turned me from pessimistic to more a little more optimistic than I was before. So it's been an all right year.
Yeah, and that's great. And I think you mentioned maybe earlier that you weren't feeling well. Are you still not feeling well, or are you still doing okay?
Oh, I'm fighting some kind of cold. Not sure if it's flu-like or whatever, but I probably caught it from a coworker at my job, but I think I'll get through it.
That's so inconsiderate, isn't it? People that come to work sick. I know some people just don't want to miss work. They don't want to miss their PTO days. Because these days you don't have sick days and vacation days. You have PTO days.
Right.
So if you never get sick, you can use your sick days, which are now PTO days, and you can take vacations with those days.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing that's happening now. And I know my friend, he works in the hotel industry, so he deals with, you know, many people constantly all day long. And he'll occasionally start feeling bad, and he's like, somebody gave me the flu. someone gave me the cold, you know. So, but yeah, that's not good. That's definitely not good. Well, you know, I wanted to mention that one of the other goals that I'm having this year is I want to buy a house, and I've been saying that on my Facebook page for a long time, and I've been traveling all over, you know, the United States trying to find the ideal house, and I'm getting ready to maybe go to Orlando to check it out. I mentioned that last week, I believe, or the week before. And that's still in the plans. But the thing is that I'm finding it a little difficult because some of the properties they send you is just so, they're not what I'm looking for. So I'm ready. I'm willing to wait it out, I guess. But I did want to play a song that I thought of every time they keep sending me these pictures of these private pools in my backyard of my maybe new house. I'm going to play this, and I'll be right back.
This is a very important message. Please listen closely to this song. Even if you disagree with me, even if you think I'm wrong, please don't pee in the pool. Listen to me, that's just not cool. If you only follow this one rule, listen to me, please don't pee in the pool.
go to the bathroom. Here's a thought, why not do that in the bathroom? Don't you worry, you'll be back soon. In the clean, clear water that you didn't ruin. Please don't pee,
don't pee.
In the pool,
in the pool.
Listen to me,
listen to me.
That's just not cool,
that's just not cool.
If you only,
if you
follow
only
this one rule,
one rule.
Listen to me, please don't pee in the pool. People swim to have fun and be mellow. That's hard to do when the blue is mixed with yellow. So when you're through with water, juice, or jello, please keep the pool fun and mellow without the yellow. Please don't pee,
please don't pee
in the pool,
in the pool.
Listen to me,
listen to me.
That's just not cool,
that's just not cool.
If you only,
if you
follow
only
this one rule,
one rule.
Listen to me, please don't pee in the pool.
Everybody sing.
I know that's silly, but I had to play that.
Was that silly? Or please don't pee in the pool?
Yeah, please don't pee in the pool, yeah.
Okay, that is hilarious. I really wish that I could have that somehow downloaded onto my phone so that when I go places with my children where it's a public swimming place, that I could play that out loud. Because I am such a germaphobe, I actually found out that certain individuals that I know pee in the pool were going to a public swimming place where I was taking my children, and I was so weirded out about it that I even called the place, and I was like, look, you know, I'm very bothered by the fact that you require children to wear these little swimmer things, but not adults. You know, you should make adults wear these swimmer things, too. You should make adults wear these waterproof briefs because it's just not right. I don't want my children swimming around in other people's pools. You know, and I think they should have the red dye for when someone pees, and then the red dye will follow them around. Some places actually have that. They really do. Some places, I guess the more expensive pools actually have the red dye that when you pee, it turns it red.
We'll catch them red-handed, but, you know, not their hands.
I like that, Julie. That's good. I didn't know they had that already out there.
Well, you
know what? I can definitely send you the audio clip for that, and you can put that on your phone. I mean, if you're serious.
That would be great, and the next time I go to a public swimming place, I can sort of turn it on and have it play a couple of times while I'm there just so people understand how I feel about it.
Yeah, you could bring, like, speakers, you know, and plug that in. And, you know,
they
have that.
Maybe I could rent a bullhorn. Maybe I could rent a bullhorn from the local police station. You know, on our drive home last night, it was 2:30 in the morning. And, you know, all the way from Kansas to Mississippi, we have to go through Memphis, Tennessee. And I actually took a wrong turn, and I ended up on Shelby Drive. And we were headed in the right direction, finally. And we approach these police cars, and I hear over this bullhorn, turn around, turn your car around. I'm like, what? What's going on? So I turn in the middle of the road, I turn around, but I'm so curious, I'd like to know what was going on, why I needed to turn my car around, because I don't know Memphis well enough. So then I was going the wrong direction again, and it's, you know, it was 2:30, I'm thinking, 2:30 or 3, and I'm just wanting to get home. I've been in this car for 13 hours. I just want to be to my destination.
Oh, no, you mean 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, yeah. Oh, no. Well, I'll definitely send you that clip and make sure, you know, when I get my house, which I will eventually, I'm going to put a little sign up as a joke, but I'll put it seriously, too, up on the wall. Please do not be in the pool. But, you know, I did want to say, you know, to anyone that's listening and, you know, and they haven't called in yet, please do so. The listener dial-in number is 646-478-3380. Or you can call toll-free at 1-888-238-8575. We really would like to hear from you, so please call in now. I know there were a few people that were planning on calling in, but they may be planning on calling in a little bit later, you know, because they may not have the whole 90 minutes or of their time to be able to be on the show. So I'm sure we're going to get a few more callers. We always do. But, you know, I just wanted to say, and, you know, this is a fun, you know, I try to be very fun on the show and everything, but I just wanted to say, you know, today was kind of an irritating day because, you know, I live in San Francisco, and sometimes people get a little impatient here, and the thing is that they're always beeping their horns and stuff like that at everybody all the time. Every time they beep the horn, I look, and I'm like, what are they beeping their horn at? This person is just trying to turn, you know? But there's certain things, you know, that I find sometimes that can be just irritating. And I wanted to play briefly something that sounds a little irritating. And then we'll be right back to talking a little bit, maybe a little bit more about this. So just here it is.
Did you know that actually been $10?
Doesn't that just sound lovely?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, so many cities I've gone to when I've been looking for a house are not like San Francisco. And obviously, San Francisco is a big city. But like when I was in San Diego, for example, I never heard one person, even a taxi driver who always beeps their horns, But I was just wondering, is there anything that you guys find irritating, you know, when you're out and about?
You know, I think there should be a restriction on your driver's license. You know how they have the restriction for people that wear contact lenses? I think there should be some type of horn restriction. I think we should regulate it so that you only get so many horn honks per month. And every year you have to renew.
I think there should also be like a noise ordinance against people with them subwoofer systems in their cars, because sometimes the noise is so irritating. Like, I used to have one that drove by my house every night at like 2 in the morning, and it would rattle the windows and wake me up. And I think that there should be like a cutoff time for people to be able to use them or just turn them down, you know.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's technically illegal to use your horn unless it's an emergency, you know. But nobody ever, you know, pays attention to that. It's everybody's so impatient, and it's just amazing to me. And I would say that's probably my number one thing that really is a pet peeve that irritates me is when people use their horns. Just because, you know, what's funny about that is that they're irritated, so they beep the horn, and in the process, they irritate everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like transferring that irritation. And,
you know, I think
it's
sort of like text messaging, too, though. You know, people, they text while they drive. That is very annoying. And I think that it is illegal, of course. Everybody knows they're not supposed to text and drive. But people that talk on their phones while they're driving are also annoying.
Oh, absolutely. I almost got hit at 35 miles per hour walking in a crosswalk. It was raining, and it was dark. You know, I'll give that person that. But the thing was, you know, I had the legal right to walk, and they were on the phone making a very fast. They were going very fast around a corner, and women that were walking on the sidewalk screamed when this car ran just drove right past me. I mean, by probably an inch, missed me, you know. And this was like about 35 miles per hour. And those women, they were like, God, I thought you were hit. And I'm like, yeah, me too. You know, so I understand that. I mean, people that are on the phone while they're calling, I mean, you know, they're not paying attention. And most times, I'd say 9 times out of 10, when I almost get hit, they're on the phone, you know? So
yeah, and there's no phone call that's important, you know?
You know,
yeah,
this brings up another funny story. When I was in college, I was always running late, and I actually got pulled over one time for brushing my teeth while I was driving to class because I didn't want to go to class with stinky breath. And, you know, if they're not going to pull people over for talking on the phone, why are they going to pull me over for brushing my teeth?
Right, right. Well, I don't know if anybody ever gets a ticket or arrested or any time for doing that. You know, there's so many laws out there that are in place that are never enforced. You know, that's what irritates me. It's like, why do they make these laws anyways? Is it to satisfy certain people that push for those laws? Because they surely don't arrest anybody for them, you know? So, because, you know, here in San Francisco, everything is very strict about certain things, and we're kind of progressive. I mean, we start something here, and then it just goes all over the United States. And I have nothing against anybody that's a smoker. I think everyone has the right if they want to smoke, just like if they want to drink. You know, it's their business. But here in San Francisco, there are some strong laws against smoking, and nobody follows them, and, you know, nobody ever gets in trouble. So I don't know. What do you guys think about it? I mean, don't you think some of these laws are just, like, just to satisfy certain people?
I do. You know, since I have 2 small children, I have to walk in the front door of many businesses that are supposed to have their little smoking poles a certain number of feet away from the door. And if I have to walk right in front of the smoker's pole where there's 20 people standing around smoking, I'm more than likely not going to go in that business unless I have to go. And I believe that places such as courthouses and, you know, public buildings should require that smoker's pole be somewhere far enough away so that young children and people who don't want to be polluted with all that smoke have to walk straight through it.
Right, right. Well, like I said, you know, I think everyone has the right, if they want to smoke, to do that. My family, when I go home, what happens, especially if it's in the winter and it's a holiday, everybody smokes in my family, you know. So I will be downstairs, and, you know, it's cold outside, and the windows are shut and the doors are shut, and everybody's smoking. We're talking like 7 or 8 people. So I'm like running up the stairs, sticking my head out the window, trying to breathe. You know, so it was so funny when my mom and my sister came out here to California. They just thought, well, you know, we're smokers. We could smoke anywhere we want. And everywhere we would go, they would be like, can I smoke here? Am I allowed to smoke here? You know, they just didn't know, you know, because it's so strict. It is so strict out here. But yeah, the other thing that irritates me is if I'm in a restaurant and I'm eating my food and somebody is blowing their nose like a horn, you know? Oh, God. It's just like that's the image I want to think of, you know, when I'm eating my food, is someone's snorting their, you know, I won't even say the word, but that's one of the things that really grosses me out, you know. But anyways, I didn't mean to go in a negative direction, but I just thought it was, you know, it was just today, just really, it was just so many people calling in, and it was just, beeping their horns, that it was just like really crazy. It looked like we dropped Julie, but I'm sure she'll call back. She probably accidentally got disconnected. But in the meantime, I want to go to break again. Oh, guys, it's break time again. And here is a funny prank call from Judge Judy to some angry lady. And please listen to it and enjoy it. And we'll be right back after this break.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
Tell me your name.
You quote my house, ma'am.
I eat morons like you up for breakfast.
I don't know who this is.
Listen to me. Huh? I want you to answer my question. My question is, when did you go to jail?
When did I go to jail? I'm sorry, ma'am. I haven't been to prison. I'm sorry. I don't want to speak to you. Bye. Yes, may I help you?
Hello?
Yes.
when you're here, I ask questions, you answer them. Unless I'm looking at you for an answer, do not speak. Do we understand each other?
No, we don't. We don't understand each other. If you need something, speak about it.
I don't think I'm finished torturing you yet.
She said she ain't finished torturing me yet.
Get
I think
your
it's a sticker.
Together.
Yeah, hang on.
Give
me. Hello?
Okay.
Hey,
yes.
Listen, I have your number. You know what I'm saying? Nobody got time for this. I don't know who you are. But, yeah, don't call my house playing with this phone, all right? This is my mother's house. And we do not respect. We don't believe it. We don't like this, man. Don't call
that
my house anymore.
It's an untenable situation for somebody to have to live with.
Stop calling my house. Yes.
Hello?
Listen, you would love to speak on the phone this way, man, but you would never like to see me face to face.
You can apologize.
Apologize for what? Who are you? You sound like a white sicko.
For an apology.
This is my house. Don't call here.
Get a life, you know, get a real job.
Get a life? You're calling my house. Who needs the life, man?
I'm sorry. I had to play that. That is Judge Judy. They did sound bites of her, and she was, and they do these prank calls. They're so funny. There was one from Richard Simmons I did a few weeks ago. It's hilarious. Every time I listen to it, I just cry. It's laughing. But I do see that we do have Julie back. She accidentally got disconnected. So, hi, Julie.
Hi. I actually am on a cell phone. Since I'm out of town this weekend, I had to call in from my cell phone, not my landline, and my phone disconnected somehow.
Yeah, I know. That's what happens. But now, let me ask you, now, here in Mississippi, this is your first time performing here?
Yes. I grew up in Mississippi, and then I actually moved from here to Kansas. And so it will be my first time performing here, and I actually grew up in a really small town, New Albany, Mississippi. And I am not even sure how many people live here, but I'm hoping right now I have about 20 people that have agreed to come to the show. I'm not really sure how it will go over. The town that I'm living in does not even sell alcohol, I don't believe. Actually, yes, they do. I believe they just started selling alcohol here. So it's a very small southern Mississippi town. The people here are great, very friendly people, but I don't know how receptive to comedy they are. I actually do clean comedy, so it's not as bad, but I still don't know what the comedy turnout is going to be like here. Hopefully it will be well, just because I grew up here, and hopefully after I leave, maybe they'll start some kind of comedy thing on a monthly or weekly basis, which would be good.
Well, that's wonderful. And I mean, to go back home and do that, I mean, that's great. That's special, you know, to do that. And then, like you said, to maybe leave it so that it can continue with other people and inspire them, you know, to
right.
Let them, give them a forum, you know, to perform. I think that's awesome. You know, that's great.
Right.
Yeah, like I said, one of these days, I'm going to do it. But
well, you're going to have to do it on a day that you don't plan to do it, because I remember the first time that I actually planned to do open mic. It was just terrible when I finally got to the stage. I actually started writing comedy for someone. I found an ad on Craigslist, and so I started writing comedy for them. And after several weeks went by, we finally booked a gig, and he was up there with two other comedians, and then I was like, you know, I think I should try open mic, and so I did. But the thing was, they started the show an hour late, so I waited 3 hours to do open mic. By that point, I had had two margaritas, and I don't ever drink because I have small children and I never get to go out. So by the time I got it to the stage, what I had written for myself, which was actually a 10-minute set, actually turned out to be about a minute and a half.
Oh, no.
But lucky for me, the guy that I write comedy for actually recorded it. So,
oh, no.
So I actually have my very first stand-up recorded so that I can look back and see how crazy it was. I told the guy that I wrote comedy for, his name's Matt Buff, I told him, I said, Matt, you could actually send that in to an AA meeting so that they could use that as reasons why not to drink before you do comedy.
Yeah. I found out a long time ago not to drink before an important situation or function or anything, because I, back when I lived in Ohio, I was selected as a, what did they call it back then? United Way, like executive. It's where they take one person out of each company and make them a United Way executive just for a period of time to, with goals to earn money, you know, for United Way and go out and talk to people and try to solicit United Way funds and have people have that deducted from their paychecks and so on. And we were invited to the governor's mansion, and it was a big event, and because they wanted to really just thank us, you know, because we did really well. We raised a lot of money and or donation promises. And so I got there, and I had two glasses of wine, and I was bumping into everybody, knocking things over. It was so embarrassing. So I learned when it's time to perform, do not drink. I think I had to sit out in my car for a while and get sobered up before I could even go back in. So it was really crazy. I was a lightweight back then, obviously. But why don't you, Cal, tell us a little bit more about your writing? Because I know a lot about it, and I think you're awesome. I think you're talented. I know you're going to be very successful, and I'm going to be able one day to brag that I knew you before you submitted your work, and maybe even was responsible for getting you to get started, getting it out there. So, but why don't you tell us a little bit more about what you're working on right now?
Well, it's mainly just like a collection of short stories that I've already written, but they all have like a common theme. Basically, they use the same characters, and there's going to be a narrative constructed around it to kind of explain it and link them together. So, you know, I'm just taking it one step at a time, you know, taking my time and not rushing it, because the creative process you don't rush it. You let the story stew in your mind a little bit, and then when it's ready to come out for me, then it's like it tells me, you know. It, in a way, it's almost like a living thing that kind of wants to come out. So,
Right. It's like you're like just a stenographer, and you just write everything down, and they just tell you what they want to say, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing, and I think that's a gift. When you can write without effortless, you know, where it just comes when it's ready, like you said, it stews and it's ready to come out. The characters just take a life of their own, and
absolutely. I
know when I wrote my stage play, it was like that. I mean, I sat down and I literally wrote that almost in one night. You know, I wrote a complete stage play. Because the characters, everything, they just took over, and I just typed everything up. So, well, that's awesome. Well, I really wish you so much luck. You know that. And I know that you're going to do well. And get your work copyrighted. That's the first step. That way it gives you peace of mind, and then you can feel more comfortable in deciding what your options are. You know, you may have a lot more options than you realize, you know, with your work, you know, and protecting those characters, I know, is number one. You got to do that.
Well,
you
absolutely.
Make sure they're... Yeah. I mean, and Julie, just so you know, I mean, Cal is a gifted writer. I mean, he has written some special episodes of things that I've had the privilege of reading, and it's just awesome. So I know he's going to be very successful. So. And that's what's so awesome. I just wanted to say is that I do have a lot of talented friends, and one of them is Wayne Jordan. He recently, not too long ago, started a business. And I'm so sorry, Cal, when you first called in, I thought you said that you were Kyle, which is the co-founder of the business of Wayne. So that's where I got confused there. So sorry about that.
That's
but
right.
Anyways, Wayne was supposed to call in tonight, but maybe he got busy. He is in another time zone, about 2 or 3 hours from this time ahead of us, so maybe he got busy and couldn't call in. But I did promise him, because I did want to say to everybody out there that's listening that maybe hasn't called in yet, we have plenty of time, so, you know, please call in if you're listening. The number is 646-478-3380. Or the toll-free number is 888-238-8575. And so please call in now. But what I wanted to say is I do have a lot of talented friends. I'm blessed with knowing singers, actors, comedians like Julie and just writers, you know, like UCal and just talented people. So every week what I'd like to do is have a segment where I promote somebody or more than one person of my friends, something that they're doing, like whether it's an audio clip of them performing comedy, which I hope Julie's going to work on something like that for me soon. And or Cal, if you want to, I know until you get it copyrighted, maybe once you do, if you want to share a story or something or a short story, that would be great. But right now, Wayne Jordan, he's a great guy, and he started a business called RescueMe911.com. And what it is, it's an online site for tech support. And I promised him that I was going to play his ad. It is an audio clip from a video on his website. So I'm going to play that right now, and then we'll be right back from a break.
Hi, my name is Wayne Jordan, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself and my company, Rescue Me 911. I have over 25 years of experience in the IT field. I started out in 1985 from my home building computers. During the 90s, I owned a networking company and an internet service provider. And over the years, I have continually worked to own networks for small business. I have always been on the cutting edge of technology, and some would say the bleeding edge. I've always tried to discover new trends in this industry and making them work for both small offices and home offices. In other words, bringing technology to the little guy. About 10 years ago, I discovered a new trend in customer support. It was called remote support. I started developing ideas on how to remotely maintain an entire network. I have continually fine-tuned that technology over the last 10 years. I've helped many businesses and home users with remote support. That is what led to the creation of Rescue Me 911. The only difference now is that I'm doing it for myself and not for other companies. With Rescue Me 911, I've also created a different business model. Instead of charging customers by the hour, I charge one flat rate to fix anything that can be done remotely. Also, if you're not satisfied with my work, you will not be charged. Do you know that over 90% of the issues on computers today can now be resolved remotely? And that is what Rescue Me 911 is all about. We also have managed services that allow us to monitor your network 24/7 and respond immediately to fix problems, usually before you even know about it. If you need immediate assistance, please click on the help button and you will be instantly put into a chat session so we can discuss your problem. Thank you for contacting Rescue Me 911.
And thank you, Wayne, for sending, having that audio clip available, because I think what I think is great about his business is that it's U.S.-based, you know, made in the USA, which is rare these days when you call in for tech support. And so that's number one. And number two, he does have that 25 years of experience. And so, you know, anyone out there, if you need online tech support, please go to Wayne's online site at rescueme911.com. And thanks again, Wayne, for letting us know about the help that you provide. And I know I could have used that many times in the past. You know, I didn't know that you could have tech support off, you know, online until one time I think I did call. But it made me feel really weird, and I'm sure Cal would probably agree with me on this, is when someone takes over your computer and you give them permission and they're trying to fix it for you, you know, over the internet, it makes you feel kind of strange. But yeah, what I can say, though, is Wayne Jordan is a wonderful guy, and his business is really credible, so you can trust him to do that. I know a lot of people would feel kind of odd to do that sometimes, but I would say don't worry about it. If you want that kind of support, you know, go to Wayne and he'll help you out. So
I would feel paranoid, John. I would just feel really paranoid if somebody, I actually had someone once when I was in college, I had a problem with my printer. They had to take control of my computer and set up my printer and everything. And I just felt really paranoid, sort of like, well, if they can do this and I called in to talk to them, you know, what could someone else do? You know, what could people do to my computer? You know, I just—it sort of makes you feel a little paranoid.
And that's what I think is what's wonderful about Wayne's business is that you know, he's very credible. You know, he's got 25 years of experience, and his reputation, and if you're not satisfied, like he said, he will definitely, you know, there's no charge, and he'll, you know, take care of it. But I think that I have a feeling, because I know Wayne, that he'll do a great job and everyone will be very satisfied. And it does look like we have another caller, so I wanted to welcome the new caller and find out who that is. Who's calling in?
It's Wayne Jordan.
Hey, Wayne, we just played your audio clip. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I did. I heard you talking. I said, well, I better call in and maybe put some people's fears at ease so that they don't think that it's all that bad. I've been doing this a long time, remote support especially, 10 years. And as you said, I've been working in the computer IT field on both businesses and individuals for more than 25 years now.
Well, great. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit more why everyone should feel more comfortable about having that, you know, that online support? What would put everyone's, you know, mind at ease a little bit better?
Well, of course, as you said, credibility is a key to it. You've got to trust someone when you do invite them into your home or whether you invite them into your computer remotely. I mean, it's no different than when I used to go in the field and I would be invited into people's home or business. And I have my business does both. I do both businesses and homes. So it both is a credibility, and it's no different than if you call up Geek Squad or any other company like that and say, hey, come out and fix my computer, or you have to take it into them. So, you know, plus the security involved in the technology that we use is incredibly high. So it's not really that big a deal. Plus, you're watching everything that we do the whole time. You know, you don't, unless you feel comfortable, you can be there the whole time. You don't feel comfortable, you can disconnect the session at any time.
You know, Wayne, that's a very good point, because when I had a session one time that was like that, where they took over my computer, you're correct. I could watch them click and where they went to and what they typed in and everything. I watched everything they did. And then at the end, I watched where they ended the session and they were no longer in my computer. So you're right. That's even better if you think about it. Online tech support is better than taking it in to a company like Staples or somewhere where you don't know what they're going to do with your data.
That's correct. And, you know, so it's no different than a telephone call. If you think about the rescue service, which is what we're talking about here, the rescue service is like a telephone call. You call me or I call you, you say, hey, Wayne, call me. And as soon as the phone call is over and you hang up, I cannot reconnect to your computer. I can't get back into it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So it's no different unless we reconnect again. And so that is one of the, and plus it's 256. Encryption during the time, so there's no way that your data is getting hijacked by anybody else other than the two of us are connected, and that's it. There's no way to get in between it.
Well, now, Wayne, because I have a friend named Jordan that was going to call in this way, and then your last name is Jordan, so I was like, if you both called in at the same time, I was going to say, I'm going to get confused. But Wayne, I was going to say, you know, I totally understand what you're saying about that, and like I said, the session I had, it worked well. They fixed my computer, and I was very satisfied. So I think it's wonderful that you provide that service. But can you tell us? You did say in your audio, video, and I made an audio of it, that there 90% of tech support can be done online. What would you say are the most common things that people need help with, you know, as far as tech support?
Well, the average customer, you know, are not technicians, and they know how to use their products. They know how to use their software, and, you know, they know how to get on the Internet and things like that. So they're not, you know, technically savvy most of the time. And so, in essence, a lot of the people I deal with are probably – a little older, raised and older, you know, maybe not the second generation of people around. But, you know, hell, I've helped 25-year-olds too, you know. They're not, some of those guys are just gamers and they know nothing about the actual underpinnings of how a computer works, how it operates and things of that nature. And so, you know, you're talking lot of malware, a lot of spyware stuff and things like that. You're talking about 6 months or a year after you get your computer, it starts running slow because you've got so much crap you've installed onto your computer, and then it just doesn't operate correctly. Well, those are the kind of things, and you know, let me say something. There's a lot of these guys out there now, like, that have these automated programs that you can use, and they work to a degree, but it's no different than having a doctor. You know, it's you, if you've got a problem and you need and you can't do it all for yourself, you got to see a doctor. Well, I'm the profession, and once you get past a certain point, you can't fix it yourself. Then you're going to have to call somebody, and you want to call somebody that knows what they're doing.
You know, I think I have a great customer for you, and Cal, he can probably agree with me on this, is that we have a friend named Grant that you have met before, because, you know, you called in when Grant called in before. Grant has
yeah.
more problems with his computer than I have ever seen. Isn't that right, Cal?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think he was, wasn't he down for like 6 months or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, he's always having problems, and he'll send it out and send it back. But I was just wondering, Wayne, are there certain brand names like Dell or other names of computers that have more problems than others that people should maybe not, you know, I'm not saying, you know, knock a certain brand, but are there certain brands, though, that have worse problems than others?
Not really. Not in my opinion.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
As far as most of the hardware today are so – now, you talked to me 15, 20 years ago, I might say something different. I mean, when people call me and ask me for recommendations, I usually today defer to Dell or HP because of just their presence in the marketplace and the capability that they have in giving service to those customers and usually fairly good response in that respect as well. I just think the technology today is pretty much par across the board. And, you know, it's not like when I was back in the early 90s when we started first building our own computers. And, you know, that's been a long time ago, but it's still, when we build our own computers and you had that diversity and it was a young market, today it's much more parity today. And, you know, I say to people, you know, it's personal choice. You can go with HP, you can go with Dell. And some people say, well, I like this. Well, I say, well, you know, I'm not married to any particular vendor from that aspect anymore.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear, because I know that Cal and I get on Grant all the time about having a Dell computer, because it seems like he just has constant problems with it all the time. You know, he's always sending it in. And it's
a long time. Most of those
problems
are user inflicted.
Okay, well, you know what? I'm sure he's going to listen to this archive file, but if not, I'm going to give him your website. And again, that's rescueme911.com, Wayne Jordan. And we're going to definitely make sure people know about your service because it's very, I mean, these days it's everyone's on the computer. So, you know, and I know I amaze myself sometimes on how I can fix my computer or fix a friend's computer. I mean, I don't even know how I do it sometimes, but so it's so complicated, but to know that there's a place you can contact and that can help you online, and that's fast, you know, you don't have to send the computer in, you don't have to do anything. Just let them help you. I think it's awesome. I think now, how long have you been in business? I forget when you started your business.
This particular business I started 2 years ago almost, and when I left my last job, I over the years for the last 10 or 12 years I've worked for small networking companies, and that's the other thing too. I've dealt with small businesses all my life, where my main job was to handle servers and workstations remotely, almost exclusively remotely for the last 10 years. And they trusted me with their servers and their workstations and all their data, and never a situation ever would occur that they didn't trust me. And I'm talking all over the place, I've helped people all over the world as far away as Australia. You know, so it's not, again, it goes back to that same thing. It's dependability and trust factor and things like that. And that is a hard thing these days because we have so many of these people out there doing weird stuff that, you know, it's hard to turn over your computer to someone. But I try to ease people's fears by saying, listen, you're going to call up a guy from Geek Squad, and yeah, they're a national thing and all that, but yeah, they're going to charge you $150 an hour. They're going to come out, you're going to invite them into your house, and you don't know them from Adam's house can. I mean, that's the bottom line, the individual.
Right.
And so I say that you have control. You're sitting there at your chair. You don't have to undo the cables. You don't have to wait on somebody. We're fairly instantaneous. You know, if you call, I'm usually right there on the phone immediately, or a chat session or Skype or however you want to handle it, you know, kind of thing.
Well, I didn't want to ask Julie, because Julie was talking earlier that she felt a little maybe possibly uncomfortable with doing a session online. I was just wondering, Julie, after listening to Wayne talk, do you feel a little bit more comfortable with it?
I would feel comfortable with Wayne and someone that I actually hired to solve a technical problem for me. But what it makes me think about is all of the individuals that are not professionals, the things that they're trained to do, what they could possibly get in and do on my computer.
Right, right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I agree with Julie, and that's why none of our sets ever start with either not talking to them in person on the phone or through a chat session. We don't call anyone. They call us first, or we talk to them first, or we meet them through Twitter or Facebook or something like that. So, and there is no time that they have to agree that they're comfortable and that we think we can fix their problem. So that and I understand what she's saying, because I'm dealing with it on a regular basis, especially now that it's become so prevalent.
Right, right. Well, I can just say from my own personal experience, with two things happening, I dropped my computer off to someone I did not know, and I was like, I can't edit everything in my hard drive before I give it to them, you know, and I did not feel comfortable at all. But when I had the session online and I watched everything they did, everything they clicked, and they ended the session, I felt comfortable because I knew exactly what they did. So I highly support what you're doing, Wayne. And I did want to say we do have another caller, and I wanted to welcome them. So who is calling in that hasn't introduced themselves yet?
It's Excuse Man, Jordan Margolis, John.
Hey, Jordan. Jordo, how are you doing?
All right. I was trying to get on and whatever. I called a toll-free number, and they needed a PIN, which didn't work because I didn't have a PIN.
Oh, now I have not had anyone tell me that before, because I've had that number used before. No one's used a PIN, so they're just picking on you tonight, Jordo.
Yeah, so we'll need to publicize that on the Friends Forum homepage.
I sure will. I'll check into that. No one has told me that you needed a PIN, so thanks for letting me know. But I just want to let everybody know that this is Jordan Margolis, also known as the Excuse Man. Most of us call him Jordo, and he is a lawyer and a comedian. Can you imagine that combination?
I just posted today that I'm good for double billing.
Yeah, that's right. You did, yeah.
Hey, John.
Yes.
You know, I would like to say that a comedian and a lawyer – will always be in business, because the majority, and I don't mean anything bad by this, but the majority of the comedians I work with have some type of legal pending trouble. I know, Jordan, I know you understand that, but the majority of comedians are comedians because they don't have drug tests.
Oh, no.
Is that wrong? Should I say that?
I could specialize in it if they could pay me, unfortunately.
And, you know, I have several attorneys who come to my show, actually, and do open mic because they know that they can gather clients at my open mic show.
Well, I do personal injury, so I'm good with hecklers throwing things.
So Jordo is great because, he is Excuse Man, too. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about
be an excuse man, because I know you go and you do perform, appearances and things like that.
Yep.
So, and you have a comic book, I believe, too.
I got lots of stuff. All right, so the basic premise is that excuse man created the power of reverse apology, which is like reverse psychology, only funnier. So the concept is we give funny excuses rather than phony, false, lame apologies. We give totally preposterous ones, like the dog ate my homework is the most classic excuse everyone's familiar with. So originally, I wrote a book called The Misadventures of Excuse Man, and in that book, I had my 15 minutes of fame while supposedly on all these TV shows and talk shows and radio shows, even in Playboy's 20 Questions, and I had trial lawyer Jordan Margolis had written a compendium of excuses, and I was touring on my press junket, and that was my 15 minutes of fame. Unfortunately, at that time, this was during the Bush administration, the Republicans in charge on Capitol Hill, and President Bush didn't think I was too funny. So they called me up to Capitol Hill, and they're showing why I'm the poster boy for everything that's wrong with America today, and no one has accountability, because they didn't find me funny because they didn't understand the satire, kind of like people who think Steve Colbert is really a conservative. They just don't get it, the joke. Anyway, so my 15 minutes of fame has become 15 minutes of defame, and everyone's throwing rocks and stones at me. And eventually what happens in the first book, The Misadventures of Excuse Man, which I call a novel excusical, because it is an excusical in the middle rather than a musical, which I could do someday because I also write musicals. Anyway, so my 15 minutes of defame, I'm appearing with President Bush at the same press correspondence dinner, and he's trying to be funny, and he takes a crack at me as a trial lawyer. And I realized, not as excuse man, but as a trial lawyer, that he went too far, that it wasn't just satire, it really became slander. So I'm then, at the end of my book, trying to decide whether or not I should sue President Bush, and I do. And so, and he, of course, just like Clinton had done, was when Paula Jones sued him, he said, look, I'm president, I can't be bothered with this kind of stuff. But the same Supreme Court who anointed President Bush as president had to live by their own precedent. So since they let the case go ahead against Clinton, they had to let the case go against George Bush in my silly book. So the case goes ahead, and it's kind of like Marx Brothers type stuff. So the deposition of me is kind of like I'm a wiseacre like Groucho would be if he was deposed. And then I take the deposition to George Bush because I couldn't find a lawyer, obviously, to represent me against the president. So that's the first book. The second book, which is a novel, is called, the first one is Misadventures of Excuse Man, a novel excuse called. This one is called Excuse Man Only Tortures English, and is more novel than ever. And the premise of this one is Bush is out of office. Ahmadinejad from Iran indicts him for war crimes, and he's such a knucklehead, he wants to prove what great shape he's in. He wants to prove why waterboarding's not torture, and he wants to go to Tehran, and he wants to defend himself, but he decides to get that some bitch Margolis, the lawyer, who had the balls to sue him in the first place, to represent him this time. So now I'm trying to figure out if I want to represent the some bitch myself, and Obama, supposedly, in my novel, and Hillary, everyone's trying to explain to me why it's better for national security that I actually do this. And so the goal is to go to Iran and turn the show trial into a three-ring circus. Meantime, I'm supposedly, because there's always three things going on in any book that anybody writes, so two of the other stories that are mixed in is that I'm trying to write another book, but my publisher doesn't want anything to do with me because he's saying, Margolis, just be a trial lawyer. You wrote a stupid compendium of excuses. It doesn't mean you're an author. Leave me alone. And I said, well, how about if I do a children's novel? Everybody loves children's books. He says, you don't know the first thing about children's books. So I try and prove him wrong, and so I write this ridiculous book. And in it, I use comics, and I had wonderful pictures by Michael Troy, who's in L.A., and we had this concept of Ollie the Elevator, who is in a dilapidated building, no tenants anymore. And he used to be so happy bringing people up and down to work and from work and to home. And now he's in this building and it's empty and he feels terrible. So he wants to be relevant again. So he pumps himself up somehow and turns himself into a superhero elevator. which can be airlifted by helicopters into shafts of buildings where bad things are happening. So if there's a hostage situation, he's like a Swiss Army knife elevator, and he can reach out and grab the bad guys, and he can save the hostages and bring them in, and they can swoop them up in the elevator shaft in the helicopter and take them out to safety. Or if there's a burning building, he can save people too. Well, so the joke in the book is that I'm writing this children's book, and of course it's scaring the bejeebers out of children. Nice birds, and they won't go to sleep. And they're, mommy, mommy. So Mothers Against Dangerous Drawings, MAD, demand the book be recalled. So I'm not really doing too well at that, and so I try something else. I try and write a hot, steamy romance novel. You know, 50 Shades of Grey is so big now, so I tried my hand at first, and I keep sending chapters to the editor. So eventually what happens is there's a big I'm trying to get the editor to buy either the comic book, not either the children's story that has nice comics in it, or the romance novel, and he's only interested in chasing my story about the defense of Bush over in Iran, and I eventually extort him. I'll give him the exclusive if he publishes all my other stuff. So eventually things happen, and there's big mix-ups, and it's got a comical ending. So that was, those are the two novels by Excuse Man, and then I had two comic books that I did. One of which was my origin story, which is A Ring of Truth, and the other one is XQ Goes Galactic, and in that one, that was written for Finishing Line Press, and they wanted to try and do a nice thing. They have kids who aren't really interested in poetry, so whether it's a grammar school, high school, and then eventually college, they wanted to tap into the graphic novel, but also have it in poetry form. So I wrote a book, XQ Goes Galactic, where an asteroid is going to hit the Earth, and I use Ollie the Elevator, and we build a nanotube technology, and we go up, and we're going to snag the asteroid and save it. So Excuse Man saves the day. And at that time, I had a Portuguese water dog, and fortunately, in one of the last pictures, I go to the White House, and I'm able to sleep in Lincoln's bedroom, and my dog was, a Portuguese water dog was a female, and she winds up sleeping in Bo's doghouse behind the White House.
I like it.
There's always
that.
Sex even in my comic book.
Well, you know,
so
Jordan,
I have a website, theexcuseman.com. So after doing those books, I eventually started doing live performances
as
Excuse Man. And if you go to excuseman.com, you can see a number of videos that I've done that were done by Mark Gerard, was my director out in L.A., who's phenomenal. David Hawkins was my costumer who made this preposterous costume for me that has finger pointing. It's orange and blue, and it's ridiculous. And it's got a big XQ on the chest. And anyway, so most of it is satire, and the performances are either I'll actually do some readings in poetry also, but I also can don the mask and finger pointing ears that look like, you know, Mercury's wings on the helmet. It's kind of ridiculous.
I love that costume. I think it's
there
great.
You go.
Yeah, it's great.
Check out the videos, and I got YouTube also and silly stuff. I'm doing a new concept now because webcam is so easy. I'm now starting to do a series called How to XQ. So it's a YouTube series. So rather than me out and about on the streets, these particular ones are just me. And so I just started it in the last couple of weeks. So I introduce people to my ridiculous XQ-ish and my silly words that I make up. And then what the concept is going to be is we're going to be moving on to subjects that it will be broad enough to share with everyone, whether it's relationships or politics or money or jobs or war or whatever it is, and put a real quick spin on it and have a good laugh, because we all have the same reasons for excuses, and all have the same problems, just different ones at different times.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I'm just amazed with all the stuff that you do. I mean, you know, it's just it's awesome. And I wanted to ask you, Jordan, there's there's Cal on the line, and he is a writer, and he writes superheroes, you know, in stories and short stories and things like that. He's just getting started. He's just getting ready to get his work copyrighted. Is there any advice you can give him on how to move forward with that? And
well, copywriting is easy. You can there's several things to do anytime you're writing anything. If you're doing anything that's going to be out, well, you can be out west or out east. The Writers Guild is one way of protecting your work. The other thing is the Library of Congress. If you just write copyright, your name, and the year, that in and of itself does the job of copywriting. The reason people put it in the Library of Congress is and fill out a form and do so is so that if someone were to take the work as their own, you get automatically treble damages. So it's just a question of what your damages are other than telling one to cease and desist. If someone takes your work for their own, if you have it registered with the Library of Congress, it just gives you treble damages. So it's partly the compensation that you're going to be getting. The C, circle, name, and year is all you really need to copyright something in general.
Oh, okay. Great.
Cool. But you definitely want to put that down.
Okay.
You want to put it on your website pages also.
Yeah. Well, does anyone have any questions for Jordan? I mean, I know I've known him for a while, and he's just hilarious. And
I was going to say, as a comedian, you don't really have a copyright when you're up on the stage. You're just up there, and it's just you and your voice, and you can't really write down copyright and the date. But I actually make it a habit to record myself at every show so that if it works, you know, someone wants to take my jokes and use them, then
right.
I'll actually have it and I'll have it dated.
No, that's good. Yeah. That makes sense. And you can accuse them of being the Milton Berle of comedy.
Right.
Well, you know,
if anybody remembers
I
Milton Berle. Am I dating myself?
Well, you know, Jordan, I can't wait to meet you. I mean, you invited me the last time you guys were all meeting down in Los Angeles, so I'm going to make it the next time.
Well, that would be great. I hope sometime to make it up to San Francisco. I haven't made it there since I've known you. And by the way, San Francisco is up 45-24 over Green Bay right now with 3 minutes and 24 seconds left to go. But I wasn't watching that not talking to you, John.
Okay, all right. Well, our dear friend Grant, he's called in a few times during the last several episodes, and so I was hoping he'd make it tonight, but I know he's been having some he's trying to find a house or something. He's very busy.
Okay.
So yeah.
Well,
so,
he's dangerous when he calls in. You got to watch out, because I remember I was doing a radio show I called XQ Rescue series with Mark Austin Thomas with a KBC at the time, and Grant, he called in, and we had always had to watch ourselves and get that button ready.
I know.
That wasn't internet, so we, you know, we had the 7 words you weren't allowed to say.
Well, you know, I told Grant I have certain sound bites, you know, little audio clip noises and things that I have all prepared for him whenever he's on, just in case I need them. So,
yes, always be prepared when you got Grant.
He's
a funny guy and a heck of a guy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know you've met him many times, and I've seen you guys' pictures together and stuff. I think it's awesome.
Well, one of the interesting things about Facebook is I've made it a point. As I go around the country, and I've actually gone and I've met people in Canada also, I just love the fact that you can meet someone on the internet, get pretty close to them, and then eventually be able to see them in person, learn even more about them, and become best of friends, much more so than even a lot of the so-called friends you have here who turn out to be, when I say here, I just mean in your own personal world, and who turn out to be acquaintances or maybe not as good friends as you thought. And you create wonderful bonds with people with the I mean, you guys were talking earlier about just fixing computers online. Now it's amazing that you can be with Skype and I guess Tango, this new thing. You can really, really make wonderfully strong friendships and bonds with people across the world, not just in North America.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. And I feel like I've met so many wonderful people, you know, since I've been on online, and I've met a lot of them too, just like you, you know, Giordo, and I can't wait to meet some more people, and I'm always happy. Let's get a picture together, you know. So,
oh yeah, it's a lot of fun. We'll get together and you get a number of people. It's a great energy, and it's very special. It really is.
Well, you know, I mean, tonight I feel like I have good friends that are online right now talking, and I'm so grateful you guys called in. Down to a few minutes, unfortunately. I can't believe that 90 minutes can go by so fast, you know, because 90 minutes sounds like a long time. But I just wanted to thank everyone, you know, that called in. You know, Julie, you've called in a couple of times, and I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to, you know, playing an audio clip of one of your performances, whichever one you want me to do, if it's new or old, I'd love to do it.
Well, I have a show in a couple of days, so I may actually get a clip for you at that show.
Oh, sounds good. Sounds great. And then, Cal, I just wanted to say congratulations, you know, on getting your work copyrighted. And once you do, in the future, if you'd like to, if you feel comfortable, you know, to share anything about your work, you know, I want to do that here on the show with all my friends. So, and thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're
and,
welcome. A blast.
Well, great, great. And Wayne, thank you again, you know, for giving us your great service, you know, a link to your service. I think that's very just what everyone needs right now, because I don't want to take my computer in to strangers. I'd rather do it with a friend. So whenever I have a problem, you know who I'm going to contact. It's going to be you. So thank you so much.
You want to call me before you throw the hammer into the computer, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Or throw it out the window, right? One of the two.
Yeah. You guys are much more artistic than I am, but I'm a pretty good bar jokester, so, you know, I've been around there. I've been around the block a few times, but you guys are great.
Well, you know, we try. But Jordan, I just want to thank you, too, you know, for calling in, and I've always wanted to know the full story about everything, and I'm excuseman.com. I mean, that's the place to go to find out, you know, everything that you have. So that's awesome. But I also want to thank Jordan also personally because he always he's a lawyer, as he said, and he always gives great legal advice, and he's given me legal advice whenever I've asked him about something, and he's a great friend, and I really appreciate him calling in, and I hope all of you have a great night, and you know, just be sure to call back if you can. We're going to be here every Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That'll be for our next episode, and I really am looking forward to talking to you guys again, either here or online. You know, because we're all friends. But for now, I just wish you all a great night, and I guess we have to sign off. So you guys have a wonderful night, and I guess I'm going to have to say goodbye for now.
Bye-bye. Excusez-moi.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye. Have a great night, everyone.
You too.
My favorite customer of all